thank you for staying with us here on the program today. During my last time on the program, we considered the free will Romans road to salvation that follows certain scriptures culminating upon the requirement for eternal life to confess Jesus Christ and believe on Him and to pray the sinner's prayer. And we tried to present to you some of the contradictions and some of the problems with that Romans road. So now we want to kind of follow the same pattern, but not to show you the free will Romans road to salvation, but instead show you the Holy Spirit's guidance through the Romans road that culminates in our salvation by not skipping any chapters, by not circumventing the inspired order of the scriptures, but to simply go straight through this Romans road and see the sovereignty of God in salvation. So the very first point in the free will Romans road arrives at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's an absolutely true statement. First of all, we need to understand that man is an abject sinner before God. He has no ability to recover himself from that ruined position. And that's the whole reason that Jesus Christ had to come into this world and die for our sins, because we had no capacity to do any good work that would be acceptable before God. And that includes belief, and it includes confession, that includes praying a prayer. We don't have the ability to do anything that's acceptable before God because we're sinners. Now, the free will Romans road to salvation places as number 2, Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then as number 3, Romans 5, 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So we want to flip those and look at Romans chapter 5 first and then Romans chapter 6, because again, we're following the Romans road. We're following the inspired order of the Holy Spirit. So we see in Romans chapter 3, actually Romans chapter 1 through 3, the depravity of man, both Jew and Gentile. In Romans chapter 4, we see a presentation of justification by faith by Abraham. And it's not his faith and it's not his belief that got him saved to heaven, but instead we see from the example of Abraham, that is how he felt at peace with God as he was justified by faith, because if his external manifestation of that faith, which is belief, is what caused him to be saved to heaven, then he was saved by works. But we're told that he's not saved by works. He's not justified by works. Instead, Abraham, through his faith and belief in God, was able to feel the blessing of the assurance of his salvation as he trusted in the Lord and not in himself. So we go from the total depravity of man in Romans chapter 3 to justification by faith in Romans chapter 4. And then we arrive at Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now understand, this doesn't say that God died for you because you accepted him as you chose to do something and then Christ died for you. No, Christ died for you while you were still a sinner. God's love was exhibited to us when we were still sinners by his sovereign grace, unmerited favor. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, continuing on through this sequential chapter sequence. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Notice, the wages of sin is death. Now, wages are something that you receive as payment for your actions. Wages are payment for works. And what if our works got us? Our works have got us death. The payment for our sin, the payment for what we have done, our wages for those works are death. But notice, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we see in other places in Romans, particularly in Romans chapter 5, verses 16 and 18, that this is a free gift. And a free gift is free. It's not conditional on something that you do. Otherwise, it's not a free gift. If you have to pay something, if you have to perform something for man to give you a gift, that's not a free gift. That is wages. That's a business transaction. If you pay $5 to someone for a widget and that person gives you a widget, that's not a gift. That's something you bought. So if there is a payment that you have to make that is necessary for eternal life, it's not a gift anymore. That's just a business transaction. And furthermore, wages are a payment for your works. Now notice, how are we saved to eternal life? Our sins got us in death. The just payment for our sins, the wages for our sins are death. But what is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God freely gives eternal life to his children. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if it was necessary for you to believe on the Lord for you to gain eternal life, this verse should read like this. But the gift of God is eternal life through your belief, confession, and praying of the sinner's prayer. That's not what it says. Your eternal life is not through an action that you perform. Your eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And furthermore, if you perform an action that has a set payment attached to that action, that's not grace. That's not a free gift. That's wages. But what do wages get us? They get us death. So based on the free will Romans wrote of salvation, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 should read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the wages of the believer is eternal life through their belief, confession, and praying of the sinner's prayer." But no, the gift of eternal life is given not through something you do, but through the person of Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, solely through the work of Jesus Christ, not by something you did in addition to the work of Jesus Christ. That diminishes the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The idea that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all of the sins of the entire world without knowledge and with just a hope that man are going to pray a prayer and he can save them to heaven, that the blood of Jesus Christ was wasted upon stubborn people who wouldn't pray a prayer, that is dishonoring to the Lord to say that and to preach that non-gospel. That's not good news. The gift of eternal life is not through something you do. The gift of eternal life is solely through the work and the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, right? You are a sinner. We laid that foundation in Romans chapter 3 and 23, right? You're a sinner. The wages of your sin is death, but God has given you eternal life, not through something you do, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, we're continuing on. Romans chapter 7 presents the conflict of those that are already saved. Remember, salvation is not pending until you get to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. This is describing the internal warfare and struggle for those that are already saved, for those that have already been born again, for those that have already received that quickening power of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And now they have two natures, and now they have to deal with the warfare and the struggle of those two natures. Romans chapter 8. Now it's very interesting that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, the scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And it's interesting, in the free will Romans road to salvation, you go and you get saved in Romans chapter 10, but now you got to back up in this road to Romans chapter 8 to get your assurance of salvation. Hold on a minute now. If you're not saved to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, then how are you in Christ? You can't go back and claim no condemnation if you're not in Christ yet. You see, a road has to follow a logical path. But now, why is there no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ? Well, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 told us that, right? How are we saved to eternal life? The gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why do we not have any condemnation? Because we're in Christ. And you don't get in Christ by something you do. You don't get in Christ by confessing and praying a prayer. You get in Christ because God placed you in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And if you keep reading Romans chapter 8, you find that out. If you follow the inspired order of the Holy Spirit in the way that God penned the Romans road of salvation, you're going to find that answer. How did those that are in Christ get in Christ? Because God placed them in Christ before the world began, as he foreknew them and chose them and predestinated them. And it's because they're in Christ that there's no condemnation. It's not that you are in a state of condemnation and then somehow you become uncondemned because you believe and pray a prayer. No, you have no condemnation because you are in Jesus Christ. I hope that you're following along in your Bibles with me. And if you are, turn to Romans chapter 8 and in verse 29. Now, my good friend, Elder Tim McCool, who's been on the radio in the Tuscaloosa area for a long time, I've heard him say many times, that he has challenged his radio listeners that if you have never heard a message on Romans chapter 8, and especially Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, you need to go ask your preacher this Sunday why he has not preached on that. Now, first of all, go read it for yourself. Second of all, go ask your preacher why he hasn't preached on that. But I want you to listen up, because now you are going to hear somebody preach on that. And I hope that this message resonates with your heart to where you'll come see us in the Primitive Baptist Church, because this is the Romans road of salvation that we believe, not something that depends upon man's fickle nature to pray a prayer, and that's how we get saved to heaven, but rather the message of the gospel that tells you that God planned and purposed and executed eternal salvation perfectly in and of himself, dependent upon no action of man. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." This is describing the golden chain of salvation, the links of the covenant of redemption. Five links of the covenant of redemption. And I'll tell you, any Romans road of salvation that purposefully circumvents Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 8 and verses 29 to 30, and then Romans chapter 9 that describes election by the sovereignty of God, that is misrepresenting the Word of God, okay? Because the scriptural Romans road of salvation doesn't just travel through Romans 8, 29, and 30. This lays the foundation for the entire road of salvation. "For whom he did foreknow," that word means to forelove in an intimate, loving sense. God foreknew a people before the foundation of the world. He loved his people with an everlasting love, and he chose his people in Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5 to get more information on that. "And you were placed in Christ before the foundation of the world." Now remember what we saw in verse 1. There is therefore now, right now, not after you pray a prayer in Romans chapter 10, but now there's no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. Well, how'd you get in Jesus Christ? God foreknew you before the foundation of the world. He foreloved you, and those that he loved, he predestinated to be with him in heaven, to be conformed to the image of his Son. He elected, he chose out that people, and that same group of people that he foreknew and predestinated, he called. He quickened them by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. He justified on the cross by the death and the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that same group of people that were foreknew by God, that were predestinated by God, that were called by the Holy Spirit, that were justified by the Son of God, will be glorified at the second coming of the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'll tell you, this is the Romans road of salvation, and this road takes you all the way back to before the foundation of the world. This is how we got in Christ. This is how we have no condemnation. This is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is a declaration. It is not an offer. It's not an invitation. The message of the gospel is a declaration of what God has purposed and planned for you from before the foundation of the world, and what he has done for you by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and what he's done for you by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. This describes your salvation. And there is no way that you can place any action or belief or prayer of man in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30. God foreknew you. God predestinated you. God called you. God justified you. And at the last day, it's going to be God that glorifies you. Now, that's the reason that at the end of this chapter, it says that, "Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If the love of God is based on something you do, then there is a fear that something can separate me from that love. But if his love is based upon something that's outside of myself, if his love is based upon something that is based in the sovereignty of God, that he foreknew me and predestinated me before the foundation of the world, there's no way I can get out of Christ. because there's no way, there's nothing I can do to get in Christ. Man can't take you out of Christ. And that's the reason we have the assurance of salvation. The assurance of our salvation is not by an action that we performed. We don't have confidence that we're saved because we prayed a prayer. We have confidence of salvation because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. That validated that God was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ that he had performed in saving his people from their sins. You see? Romans chapter 9 and in verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God chose his people not based on something that they would do, but based on his own grace and mercy and sovereignty. So now we've traveled through Romans chapter 8 and 9 that are purposefully circumvented by the free will Romans road of salvation, and we have seen that God has purposed, planned, and fully executed the salvation of sinners by nothing more than his own work of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, not by an action of man, but by the sovereignty of God. Now, that is so important because by the time we arrive at Romans chapter 10, salvation is not in the balance. Salvation is not pending. Salvation is not doubtful of if it will occur. Salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. But now the Apostle Paul calls upon those that are already born again to believe in the Lord. He has felt, the Apostle Paul has no doubt felt, the conviction of sin and trying to look at nothing more than his own works to view himself as righteous before God. The Apostle Paul was born again on the road to Damascus, but there was 3 days before Ananias showed up to tell him the message of the gospel that his sins were forgiven, where he felt the conviction of sin. He felt the bondage and the weight of all of his past sins on his shoulders, and he knew that there was no way that that was good enough for him to be righteous before God. The Apostle Paul knew intimately what that yoke of bondage felt like upon a Jew that had no hope other than his righteous deeds before the law. And he had also felt the liberation of that yoke of bondage when Ananias came and told him, your sins are forgiven, not because of something you did, but because of the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ. He had felt that liberating message, and now he looked out at all the rest of these Jews, his natural kindred in the flesh, and he said, guys, you don't realize it, but you are under bondage, and I felt that liberation of the gospel. I felt that liberation to place confidence and trust only in the Son of God for salvation. And I want you to feel and experience that. I want you to be saved from that yoke of bondage. I want you to be delivered from the conviction of sin down in your heart and doubting, am I a child of God? Am I doing enough? Did I do this action right? Did I make this alms right? Did I pray this prayer right? No, that's bondage, child of God. The Apostle Paul said, I look out at my natural kindred and I see they're living in that bondage. I see those that have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I see those that need the message of the gospel. And I have a message that can give them that freedom and liberty. And I want every single one of them to believe in the Lord. Now understand, the people he's talking to, they already have a zeal of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, the word that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. These are people that already had the word of faith, not only in their mouth, but in their heart. These were born again children of God. But what they didn't know was the liberating message to place their hope only in Jesus Christ as the end of the law for righteousness. Not your righteous works, not something you do, but only in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul looks and just feels so down deep in his heart that these children of God that are feeling that bondage, that are feeling that yoke, he compels them to confess with their mouth and believe Jesus Christ and be saved and delivered from that bondage of the law. I want you to feel the liberating message that I felt when Ananias told me my sins were forgiven and I was baptized in the name of the Son of God that died for my sins and paid for my sins. I want you, my natural kindred in the flesh, the Jews, I want you to feel that salvation down in your heart. Now understand, their belief and their confession is not what saved them to heaven, but they got saved that day. The Apostle Paul got saved on the day that Ananias came and preached that gospel to him, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord. He got saved. That's not when he got saved to eternal life. That's not when he got saved to heaven. But he got delivered from the bondage of sin and the conviction of sin. And we can go back and see from Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1 that when we believe in the Lord, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, now we have peace with God and we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. So this Romans road of salvation does end up in the right place. But if you do not pass through Romans chapter 8 first and Romans chapter 9 first, then you have a misinterpretation of what Paul was imploring these children of God to do in Romans chapter 10. He's not concerned about these people going to hell. He's concerned about his suffering, convicted, burdened kindred in Christ, and he desires them to feel the salvation and the deliverance that the gospel has for them by believing in the Lord. So, as we followed the Holy Spirit's pattern of the Romans road of salvation, we have seen the sovereignty of God in salvation, especially in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30. And when you get to Romans chapter 10, the Lord and the Apostle Paul is not imploring dead alien sinners to pray an unscriptural sinner's prayer to be saved to heaven. He's telling children of God that already have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You need to get that knowledge. I'm giving you the knowledge by the message of the gospel, but now you need to believe it. Be saved. Be delivered. And I actually want to end my message on the Romans road to salvation the same way. And in the same destination. Now understand, the destination from the free will Romans road of salvation is there is now, from Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. But understand, you didn't get in Jesus Christ because you prayed a prayer in Romans chapter 10. You got in Jesus Christ because God foreknew you and predestinated you and called you and justified and glorified you in Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30. Okay? But I want to leave you with the same message. I want to leave you with the same command. Belief is not an option. Belief is a command for the child of God. And if you have a zeal of God, this is the knowledge that you need, that Jesus has saved you. Jesus has completed the work of salvation. There's not something left for you to do to ratify the transaction. It is complete. It is done. It is finished. And based on that knowledge, you need to reconcile yourself to that truth. That is the truth, but you need to reconcile yourself to that truth. You need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. And you need to accept that Jesus Christ is already your Savior. You can't accept something that's not true. You can't confess something that's not true. You need to accept and confess that Christ is already your Savior. And why is that the case? Because He's already saved you. Because He's already completed the work of salvation. And we believe that you will experience a salvation and a deliverance and a peace in your heart to where you don't have to be concerned, did I pray this prayer right? Is this the one work that's going to sever my relationship with God? You can have peace and assurance through nothing more than the work of Jesus Christ. Not by something you did, but by nothing more than the work of Jesus Christ, that I am already saved, and you can feel that salvation and deliverance, that bondage and liberation of the yoke of bondage of a work salvation coming off of your neck to where you can serve the Lord with freedom and liberty in the gospel. This is the scriptural, Holy Spirit-inspired Romans road of salvation, and we certainly hope this message has touched your heart, that you will believe and confess in the Lord. And if you want to hear some more preaching about Romans chapter 8 and 9 and 10 and the sovereign grace, Romans road of salvation, then please come see us at a Primitive Baptist Church. Please email me, contact me, and we will be happy to deliver to you the good news of this glorious gospel that we've been given by the Lord. May God bless you today.